Today's Bible readings is in Matthew chapter 1, verses chapter 1, verses 16 to chapter 2, verses 22. It says, "It is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the Lord, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give her the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet: the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord has commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born King of Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When the King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called all together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. 'In Bethlehem, in Judea,' they replied, 'for this is what the prophet has written: But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among of rulers of Judah. Out of you will come rulers who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Ian, to help.
Thank you. "Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go search carefully for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I may too go and worship him.' After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star had seen when it rose and went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. When they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. 'Get up,' he said. 'Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him.' So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where they stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled that which the Lord had said through the prophet: 'Out of Egypt I called my son.' When Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old or under, in accordance with the time he'd learned from the Magi. Then it was said through the prophet of Jeremiah that it was fulfilled: 'A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more.' After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt And he said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in the place of the father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. Amen. We trust that God will bless to us this reading of his word.
Good morning. Ah, can you hear me? Okay. Never know. Good to have the technology and switch it on and get ready for Advent and an Advent message today. So first Sunday in Advent, I should introduce myself, I suppose, with Andrea Mill from Colledene Granary Baptist Church in Glenrothes, formerly of Bristow Baptist Church. But I represent the Scottish Baptist Lay Preachers Association in my speaking to you today. And I trust you've been blessed by many other of our fine speakers in recent weeks and months. So, first Sunday in Advent, how do you feel when we approach Advent? Joy? Peace? I've got all these things to do? Yeah, it can be a mixture, can't it? It can be a feeling of dreading. Oh no, I've got to get all this done and I've got to go here and there. And there's social events. It can be joy as well, but it's still time and energy. So a mixture of emotions. But today we come to center ourselves and look at the true meaning of Advent. Advent is a waiting time, a coming together to wait and hopefully for the Lord in many other ways. We have our four Advent candles, hope, peace, joy, love. People can do them in different orders, but we usually start with hope as we're coming into Advent. And so I'm going to start by reading just some verses from Psalm 33. It's a wonderful psalm. I'd encourage you to read the whole of it. I'm just going to read about six verses. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. So that is my prayer for today, that we would unpack this theme of putting our hope in the unfailing love of God. And we're going to look at the hope in the Christmas story as well, as we've read those verses from Matthew 1 and 2. And that's sort of our backdrop to the message today. But first, let's look at what is hope. Is it going to come, or do I have to press? Ah, that way. That way. Ah, I've got it. Right, okay. So the dictionary says that hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen, or to want something to happen, or to be the case. Do you have a feeling of expectation? Did you desire for a particular thing to happen as we enter Advent? What do you hope for as we begin this Advent season? I'll just let you think about that. What do you really hope for? But the psalm gives us many reasons for hope. It talks about the character of God, the truth of his word, the power of his words that spoke creation into being, the mysteries of God stored up in the deeps, the blessings poured out to God's people who stand firm in his plans, and how God thwarts the plans of nations and peoples who are not in his will. He watches everything we do and cares about every little detail in our lives. And he looks into our hearts. What does he see today? Strength and power, status and wealth cannot save, it says. But God saves those who fear him. Therefore, we have every reason to put our hope in the Lord and to wait for him to come through while we rest in his love. And that could be tricky when we're going through difficult stuff. But this is what the message is about today, resting in his love. So I don't know if that doesn't get you excited. I don't know what will, as we come to explore hope, a time of waiting in hope for the Lord. And waiting is active as well as passive. And it's more about slowing down, actually, in this season, where we might be thinking, oh, it's just going to get faster and faster and faster as we hurtle towards Christmas. But actually, the Lord calls us to take time with him, to slow down, to prioritize him and our relationship with him more than anything, more than all the things that need to be done. It's not about worldly things. It's about the true meaning of Christmas. So, what impact does hope have on us? Having some kind of hope is very, very beneficial for our health, body, mind, soul, and spirit. Even a worldly hope, as we look forward to something happening. Maybe you're looking forward to being together with family or friends in the run-up to Christmas and on Christmas Day. I just was successful in the ballot for Wimbledon. If you're into tennis, you'll know what that means. Something that I've always wanted to do, to go to Wimbledon. I did go a couple of years ago on a little holiday booking, but this is the first time I've been successful in being allocated two tickets in the ballot for the Wimbledon tennis championships. And also my son did. So we're going to have 2 days at Wimbledon. So I'm excited already, and that's not till June next year. But this is a worldly thing, but these things give us joy, give us hope, give us something to look forward to. If you look at a couple who are engaged and planning their wedding, there's a light in their eyes, isn't there? There's the hope of not just the wedding day, but life together after that. It affects us in so many ways when we have something to hope for. But indeed, if we don't have any hope of any kind, the opposite can happen, and life can seem meaningless, and it could lead to depression, because depression is about loss, lost hope, lack of motivation to do anything. And we can be difficult to live with then, can't we? And that can put a strain on our relationships. But Psalm 33 tells us that we cannot put our hope in worldly things. Only God can save us. So perhaps our sense of lost hope is because we've put too much hope in the worldly things. So we need to focus on the hope that we have from being in a loving relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And the verse on the screen there, Hebrews 6:19 says, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure, it enters the sanctuary behind the curtain. So that means it takes us in to the Holy of Holies, that place of intimacy with God. This is the true hope, the true anchor for our soul, no matter what the storms of life will bring us. They will try and buffet us this way and that. But when we have our hope in the unfailing love of God, we have that anchor for our soul, firm and secure in the sanctuary behind the curtain. And the Bible has a lot to say about hope, many, many verses about hope. If you just do a search in your Bible app, you'll find them. And here's a couple for us to reflect on. Colossians 1, verse 5, talks about the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel. The faith and love that spring up from the hope. The hope happens first. You hope in the unfailing love of God, and then you put your faith in him. And the love that comes from God to you overflows to other people. And Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. So the hope, again, comes first. And when we have that relationship with God, we have confidence. Because like we had in the children's talk, we know that ball's going to come down. It's not a hit or a miss, 50-50 chance. We know that God's love is permanent. It's never going to go away. It's with us and will save us and help us and strengthen us through the difficulties of life. We put our hope in his unfailing love. We have the assurance about what we do not see. Things that can be far off in the future, but a sense of knowing that God's going to do something can give us that confidence. But what better illustration of God's unfailing love than in the Christmas story? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, as we've heard already. As we reflect now on that Christmas story, do you see the hope in it as it was read? Can you find the message of hope? What about Mary? As we read, she was engaged to Joseph. She would have just been a teenager, but not yet married. And though it was not in Matthew, but in Luke, it tells you how she met with the angel. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. I have good news from God. You are the chosen one. You are the one that's going to carry the Messiah and bring him into life in this world." And she goes, How can that be? For I am a virgin." And the angel says to her, "The Holy Spirit will overshadow you and you will conceive. Not by man, but by God." So, very disconcerting, but I've always been struck by Mary's response. Even as a new Christian, it really impacted me how Mary just said, "May it be to me as you say. Yeah, I'm just going to do what you want me to do, God. No matter what happens, no matter what scandal it causes or whatever, I'm going to accept this this task, this whatever mission." And what about Joseph? Well, he was an upright, godly man. And he did his best to obey the law at the time. And it certainly would not have been allowed for him to marry a woman who was not a virgin. And there would have been such scandal about Mary that he could not possibly go ahead with the marriage. So he planned to cancel the engagement because he was a righteous man. He was more concerned about himself, really, than anything else. So both were afraid initially. But both responded to the word of God to give them hope and courage to submit to God's plan. Because they knew their scriptures, even Mary would have been taught scriptures separate from the men, and the men certainly knew a lot more. They knew the prophecies, and over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament that tell us what's going to happen in the future, where Jesus would be born, that he would be the Messiah, and so on. And Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which we know means God with us. They would know that, all these prophecies. And so for Mary, the penny dropped. Oh, it's me. I'm the one, I'm the virgin. This prophecy is actually coming true. How often do we read prophecies, receive prophecies, but perhaps we don't really believe it's going to happen, especially when it's been a long time ago that the prophecy was given. But this prophecy is fulfilled here and now in her life. Same can happen to you. So she realized the virgin, the prophecy was her, and submitted in obedience. And Joseph was spoken to through a dream as well. He knew the scriptures, but it took a dream, an angel coming to him in a dream that said to him, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, and explained that she was to bear the one who would be the Messiah, and you are to give him the name Jesus. So they both were obedient. And then as we carry on in our passage, more prophecy about the birth of Jesus. In the book of Micah, but you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. And we read in Matthew how they went to Bethlehem for the baby to be born. That was all prophesied long before. And in verse 4, Micah 4:4, he will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. So the Magi, the wise man, whatever you want to call them, came. They studied the stars and the planets and everything else, and they believed that the star for the one who would be born to fulfill all those prophecies had risen, and he was about to be born. So they had hope of seeing the Messiah alive. So much hope that they set off on a long, long journey. Took a long time, would have cost them quite a bit, with that hope in their sights. We are traveling on. We don't know where we're going. We just know we've got to go in this direction. And they speak to Herod, who tells them it's Bethlehem. And then they go and they find the child and they bow down and worship him. They had the hope and it was fulfilled. And they gave them, they gave to Jesus amazing gifts, very significant gifts. So much hope in our story that turned fear and despair, anxiety in Mary and Joseph into something really positive. They had such a strong relationship with God that once they realized what was being said to them, they obeyed because they loved God and they knew that they were secure in his love. so much hope in the Christmas story. And what about us today? What hope do we have in our faith as Christians? Hope stored up in heaven. Romans 15:4, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. So as we read God's word, as we learn from it, as we study it, as we become more aware of what it means, because it can be difficult to understand in places, that gives us a knowledge of God and a development of our relationship with him. If he could do that in the past, he could do it now. And he can do it again in the future. That gives us hope. In Romans 5:3-5, we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That can be a difficult passage to accept, that we go through a lot of stuff and out of that we develop our character. He gives us resilience, perseverance, and an ability to put our trust in God, because if he's done it before, he'll do it again. And so we can have hope. And sometimes it can be the best response to when something hard happens or a problem, whatever it might be, to learn to say, God, please help me to learn whatever it is you need me to learn when I'm going through this, so that I can go through it quicker. I'm not going to resist. I'm not going to try and solve it my way. I submit to your way because I know your way is best. We have hope. And also a future hope. Titus 3:4-7. But when the kindness and love of God, our Saviour, appears. Isn't that wonderful? When the kindness of God, the love of God, our Saviour, appeared. He saved us, not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. So that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. And I hope that hope of eternal life fills you with the confidence about whatever happens in this life, we know where we're going. Whatever we have to go through, we know that one day, because we've given our lives to Jesus here and now, that we will go on to be with him forevermore into eternity, and how glorious that will be. And that hope gives us something special and strengthens us in our daily walk and through life. But hope, is it just passive or active? It can be both. We can sit and wait and pray. But the praying is actually doing something, isn't it? It's active. What do you hope for? I asked you that question at the beginning. What are you hoping for here and now, whether it's for Advent or in life? To ask, what are you doing about it? Are you just sitting and waiting for God? Sometimes that's all we can do. But, you know, if I said, I hope to be lighter, see, but I don't do anything about it. I just eat whatever and don't exercise. You know, unless I do something as well as hope, then it's not going to happen. And it's the same in our Christian hope. You might hope for a new job, say, but how many applications are you actually making? You know, we have to act as well as just have hope. You might sit and think, I wish I could, whatever comes to your mind. What steps have you taken towards realizing that hope, even if it's praying, and that's what we need to do, but often there's more to that. And have you received a prophecy as a church or as an individual that has a condition attached? Often that is a conditional. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is the famous verse. If my people who are called by my name, so if, would humble themselves and pray. So that's the big if clause, isn't it? To humble ourselves and pray. Then will I hear from heaven and I will heal their land, it goes on to say. So be careful that we don't miss the if bits in prophecies and work at doing our part. How often are you praying for people that you hope to be saved? Are you being a Christ-like witness, playing your part, showing them the integrity of life as a Christian and not just doing what everybody else does? We have to play our part in things that we hope for. And what do you hope for in God? Do you long for the deep things of God? That he would use you more in his service, he would use you to reach the lost. He would give you prophecy, he would give you visions, he would give you the ability to just lay your hand on somebody and see them healed. That the ability to just speak and have a miracle happen. The Bible says that we can do that, doesn't it? It's, Jesus said we would do even greater things than he did. Do you long for these things? Do you want to see his kingdom come here, now, in Dedridge? There's no reason why not. We have to long for it, we have to hope for it, but we have to pray into it, and we have to live holy lives that enable us to do that and to be authentic witnesses. What does the birth of Christ mean to you as we look forward to Christmas? Does it fill you with a kind of hope that you want to share with others? After all, there is so much hope in the Christmas story. And we're called to share our hope too. Sorry. Oh, I've got the verses the wrong way around here. It's all right. It's just confusing me. So 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Central, revere Christ as Lord. And always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. Are you ready to give an answer to anyone who asks for the hope that you have? But do this with gentleness and respect. We have to be ready to share our hope with anyone who asks. And there's a lovely verse which was quoted in the children's talk as well. Romans 15:13 is a good one to memorize. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a good one to bless each other with, to pray for yourself, that I may overflow with hope in the power of the Holy Spirit as I go into this Advent season, that I won't get bogged down by all the minutiae and things that have to be done. So just to summarize, learn about God in the Bible. If you need help to read, to understand, then get into a Bible study, get help. Develop a knowledge of God. He describes himself as the God, the Lord, the gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. That's Exodus 34, 6 and 7. Get to know him, what's written about him, but also learn from your encounters with him, your experiences with God, your sense of just his love overwhelming you. Learn from your past and learn to put your trust in him here and now, your hope in him for what is to happen in the future. That no matter how dark or difficult, whatever it is you're going through, when you put your hope in the unfailing love of God, there will be light at the end of the tunnel. You will receive the strength that you need for here and now. Jesus said, ask for your daily bread, one day at a time. Don't look at what might happen 6 months down the road, one day at a time. Today, Lord, I put my trust in you. I put my hope in you to give me whatever you know I need for today. This is our hope. Pray into prophecies received and act on any conditions and talk about your hope both now and into eternity to be a witness, even in just the everyday conversations that you have. All you need is the unfailing love of God in your hearts, central in your lives, to strengthen you for today and tomorrow. And just the final comment in the Advent season, we don't just wait and hope and look forward to the birth of Christ, we also reflect on the second coming of Christ. Like the prophecies, one day we'll be here, just like they were for Mary. Could be today, could be tomorrow, Christ would come back again. Are we ready for that? Are you praying, come Lord Jesus, come and put the world to rights? God knows we need the world to put to rights. Or is that just some story? The Bible says it will happen, it will happen. And we need to be ready. So put your trust and your hope in God's unfailing love. So just to pray a blessing as I finish, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yet not I, but Christ in me. Let's pray as we go from here. Lord, we submit to your will. Pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord. For we've heard your word today, that when we put our hope in Jesus, we can do all things because he strengthens us. So I pray for strength for everybody here today to go and speak about the love that they have, the hope that they have, the many, many experiences that they've had of God's power at work. And I pray for the strength as we go into this Advent season to remain rooted in your unfailing love that will enable us to do whatever needs to be done, and whatever doesn't need to be done can just fall away. So give us peace as well as we just go about enjoying this time together, and we look forward to celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, the sign that we needed to give us hope for the future. Amen.